Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Thank you, Pastor Bruce. And he did say that Pastor Nathan was away in Scotland. And so I just want to pray for him. I know he's going over there and just visiting family. So Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for Pastor Nathan, God, and Elsa, Lord. I pray, Father, bless them, strengthen them. Lord, I pray for a time of refreshing. Lord, let them take care of any business that needs to be taken care of. Lord, we pray a blessing over the children, Father, that they may rest and be refreshed as well when they come home. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, my name is Sheen. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and I live in New Jersey. But I preached at the AM this morning, and so if you caught the AM, you're going to get double dip. You're going to get it again. And so we're in the book of Luke. We're in a Luke series. And so last week, I'm pretty sure we're all preaching the same thing, New Jersey, New York. And so last week, we talked a little bit about, the Lord's Prayer and how God and who he is and that God is a good father. That's the first thing in the Lord's Prayer, and that he's not a deadbeat dad, and that you can have a relationship with him, that God wants you to have a genuine, authentic relationship just like you do with the person next to you or a good friend. The next thing we learned about was that God is unlimited, that he has more than enough, that you can't bother him, that you can ask, seek, knock, keep coming to him. He never sleeps, never slumbers. He's always there for you. And the other thing is this, is that we understand also when we closed out that he wants to give you good gifts. You know, I know this holiday season maybe you didn't get what you want, but the ultimate gift outside of his son Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit to help you live for Christ. And so he wants to give that gift to you as well. I know you see this picture up on there. Is there a picture up? I got a picture. Because tonight I'm talking about unity. You got to get a picture. So this Friday, I got to speak to our Every Nation Church in Brooklyn. And these are all our Russian-speaking brothers, except for one brother on the left side. He's from Pakistan. And, of course, me in the middle from Wakanda. So you were able to understand that I was the only one there, you know, that looked different. And so the common denominator and the funny thing that took place is when we got there to eat, you know, my man was, his name was Alex, is on the, where's Alex at? He is on the far, your right, my left. And so he was over there, or your left, my right. And he said, man, we're going to eat. And I was like, all right, man, let's do this thing. So he's cooking up these steaks and then he's making these potatoes and I'm tracking with him. All right, steaks, potatoes, I can go with corn. Yeah. And then he says, it's time for the salad. And I'm thinking, all right, man, let's get the romaine out. Let's, you know, where the kale? Let's do this. And he goes, no. We in Russia, we just do cucumbers and tomatoes. I'm like, all right, you know, I'll do what I got to do to sacrifice for the team. But then he went next level. He took sour cream and put it on the salad. I said, bro, I don't do that, man. I'm sorry, I can't. Where the ranch at, you know? And so it was just learning the different cultures. And what I want to talk to you tonight is about unity. If you leave tonight, the one thing you got to understand is where there's unity, God commands the blessing. And so on this Martin Luther King Jr. weekend holiday, I need you to understand that this man, he laid down his life so that you and I can do what we're doing in this room right now. Because years ago, we wouldn't be able to come together and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. There'd be people outside picketing saying, you can't do that. And so be encouraged tonight as I get into this word in Luke 11, starting in verse 14, and we're going to go to 18, and I'm going to break this thing down, and we're going to go home and warm up. And so the Bible says here, and he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the crowds were amazed. But some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Others tested him and were demanding him a sign from him. But he knew their thoughts and said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid to waste. And here's our money line. And a house divided against itself falls. Another interpretation says this, will not stand. You know, Jesus was a rock star. And wherever Jesus went, the crowds followed. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees were upset because now Jesus is becoming more popular than them. And they're very insecure. And they're what we call in this generation, they were haters. Any haters? Don't say I'm a hater in the house, but you know what I'm talking about. Haters. And so their key was this. What they were trying to do is they wanted to drive strife and division amongst Jesus, his followers, and the disciples. He was trying his best to drive a wedge. And so what they said was, this man is operating in the power of Satan. See, Beelzebub was a name for the prince of demons. And so Jesus was like, you know what, I'm okay every once in a while. I'll let the pettiness slide every once in a while. But there comes a moment where Jesus has enough. And if you know anything about our God, Jesus was a real one. He didn't play around. And so he knew right then, if I don't deal with this situation, it's going to be bad. And the first point I want to make is this, is that Jesus wanted to fight for the unity. He went and fought for it. He didn't just let it slide. He's like, no, I can't just let this one slide. Because what was he's getting after is that they know that if Jesus is who he said he was, then they were in trouble. If they find out that he truly is the Messiah, that he truly is the Christ, they're in trouble. And so he begins to break it down. He says, wait a minute here. Now you've seen me cast demons out. You've seen my disciples do it. But what about your people? What about those Jewish priests? They're doing the same thing in my name as well, and they're driving out demons as well. So now they're guilty of this, getting in the way of the advancement of the kingdom of God. The next thing he's going to challenge them on is this. He's saying, wait a minute. So now you're going to try to say that I'm operating in this spirit. But what you don't understand is that the enemy is way smarter than I am, than we are sometimes. Because the Bible says that when the enemy is driven out of a man or a woman, if that man or woman doesn't take something and put it inside of them and clean it, make sure that it's full, that enemy, that spirit will go and find seven more wicked, and they're coming back to do business. Jesus is saying, look, how can I be against that? That's not me. That's not who I am. Why would I want to lose ground when I'm here to take ground? See, the thing about Jesus is this, John 10:10. Jesus said this, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief, the enemy. That's what he's about. And see, you and I got to understand that the enemy wants to drive a wedge between you and God. He wants to come in right now and steal your identity. He wants to steal your purpose. He wants to come right in and kill the dreams and the hopes that you have for your future. And he also wants to destroy you because he knows this, that if you ever find the purpose that you were created for, you're going to be a terror on this side of eternity. And so the enemy's like, man, I can't let them become a man or a woman of God. I can't let them connect with the Most High because I know if they do, that they're going to fulfill their destiny and their purpose, and they're going to do great things for the kingdom of God. See, I grew up in an environment that wasn't healthy. I understand division. See, when I grew up in a small town in Tennessee, and obviously my mother being African-American, but I never knew my real father. And on the other side of this is that my mother married outside of her ethnicity. She married a white guy. And so I understand division at the highest level. Because when he chose to marry my mom, they disowned him. And when my mom chose to marry him, they ridiculed her. So they had to leave and go raise this somewhere else. But you know what? God has a plan for your life. No matter your upbringing, no matter what you've gone through, no matter the things that you faced in the past, God has a plan because it says here that Jesus said that I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. An abundant life is the greatest life because it's not just about the right now, but it's also what's to come. See, you have to fight for the unity with God. You can't let the enemy come in and derail you and keep you from having that connection, not just with God, but also with the people of God. That's a great tactic and a great skill of the enemy. Strife. What is strife? See, strife and division run together. And what is it? It's this. The definition, it says, is disagreement between two or more groups, typically producing tension or hostility. And that's what Jesus, that's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees wanted. They wanted great tension. And they wanted to bring hostility amongst the people. But Jesus, knowing their schemes and scams, it says this in Proverbs 16:28, a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. Jesus had to step in and say, not on my watch. I'm not going to have this. I'm bringing you together. See, Jesus hates division with a passion. It says in Proverbs 6:16-19, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and here it is, a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Stirs up conflict. Unity. If there's anything you hear me say tonight, is that where there is unity, God commands the blessing. Where there's unity, God commands the blessing. One of my great joys that I used to do back when I was in Nashville in Tennessee, down south, people are religious with their college teams, their college football teams. And in this one house particular, one Saturday out of the year, was the greatest tension and drama that can go on between a husband and wife. This one lady, she had the University of, I'm not going to say the name of the team, and she was a diehard. Her husband was favorable, and he loved this other team, and he was diehard. And so I'd love to go over and just sit in that. I'd watch them. It's going to be a good, interesting day. And so I knew how to stir up strife, because this was the key. It was never about the mom and the dad, but it was always about the children. So I'd say, hey, who y'all going for today? We're going for a mommy's team. Fights break out, dishes breaking. I'm mad. How dare you come over here stirring up this? And I understood that's how the same thing the enemy does. He's quick to bring division and strife, not just between you and God, but even the people of God. That's the scheme of the enemy. That's his plan. But if you understand that where there's unity, God commands the blessing. Number two is that you have to trust God. See, they said they wanted a sign. If God is real, if you're real, then give me a sign. Jesus was like, man, did you not just see me? I just cast the demon out of this man. He could not talk. And now he's talking. You want a sign? Are you kidding me? Jesus is love. Jesus is God. And that's what he loves to do. He loves to show you that he's real. But how many times have you and I prayed a prayer? Lord, if you're real, then do this and I will follow you. Come on, raise your hand. I did it. I was in college once. I'm 43 years old. I've been in college. I prayed some prayers. Lord, if you just get me home tonight, I prayed that prayer. Y'all looking at me like y'all never prayed that before. Come on, man. Lord, if you just get me home tonight, I'll be in church on Sunday morning. You know what? He got me home, and you know what? I was out doing the same thing I was doing the week before. See, God can give you a sign, and that's okay. But ultimately, the ultimate sign that Jesus wants to do with you and I is a changed life. Is a changed life. A man or a woman that used to live one way, and now they're living another. See, you can't deny that. And see, my roommate in college, he was the same way as I was. Crazy, wild, we're out there doing our thing, living the life. And you know what happened? All of a sudden, he gives his life to Jesus. And we freaked out. Man, what happened to you? Man, you used to be, man, we was tight, man. You can't go where? You can't do, man. Oh, man, you messing up the party. And you know what? I began to watch his life. And God began to elevate him and take him to another level because he chose to follow the Lord. You know, for me to get saved, it had to take a miracle because I grew up bitter. And I need you to understand this tonight. The quickest way to be separated from God is not just strife, but also bitterness. Because bitterness will skew your view of man and woman. And you'll begin to think that everybody that looks a certain way, acts a certain way, and does a certain, and you can't trust anybody. See, I grew up in a home of turmoil. a lot of hate and a lot of pain. My stepfather was very verbal and physically abusive with my mother. And so growing up, watching that and listening to that every other night or some nights, and you grow up angry and mad, thinking one day, when I get big enough, when I get strong enough, it's going to be he and I, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And you're angry and you're mad. And all of a sudden you do get to that point where you have the opportunity to do something back to that person. But you know what? Thank God that a pastor grabbed me just in time. And he sat me down. And he began to tell me about Jesus. See, I'm full of hostility, rage, and anger. And all of a sudden, he begins to open the Bible and tell me about the love of God and how much God wants to help me and take me to the next level. And I have a purpose and a destiny. And I didn't want to hear all of that. I just wanted to fight and get back to the person that did wrong to me and my mom and my sister. And he says, man, you're going to have to trust God. And I said, man, I ain't trusting God. Where was he when all that nonsense was going on? And he began to open it. No, just read this. And I'm not reading anything. I need a sign. And you know what? He said, all right, man, let me put my hands on. I'm going to pray for you. And when he put his hands on me and he prayed over me, he got this impression. God gave him a vision of my life as a young child. He says, Shino, I see you on the side of your bed, on your knees, and you're crying, and you're praying a prayer, and this is the prayer that you prayed. If I ever get married, I will never treat a woman like that. And I looked up at him. I said, that is God. Because I remember praying that. Only God knew I prayed that prayer, because when I prayed that, my mother was getting beat in the other room. I'm on my knees crying, and I'm saying, if I ever get married, I'll never treat a woman like that. And my heart was open, and I said, man, what must I do to be saved? And from that moment on, I'm sold out for Jesus. Never look back. And so I'm here to tell you tonight, God will give you a sign, but the question is, will you follow him? See, Jonah, that's why they referenced Jonah, and that's why they referenced the queen of the south. They said, man, Jonah had less than you, and Ninevites, they repented. They repented 40 days. If you don't stop doing what you're doing, I'm going to destroy you guys. He said, man, look, we believe it. We know that the God that you serve is real. We're going to fast, and we're going to do exactly what you said, and God spared them. The queen of the south comes to hear Solomon speak and the wisdom and the anointing on his life, and she's like, man, there has to be a God because nobody is as wise as you, and she believed. And Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees and Sadducees. He said, look here, man, they didn't see as much as you see, and you still don't believe. What does it take for God to unify him with you and you with him and go and be the man or woman that he's called you to be? Troublemaker, strife, don't doubt. Trust God. The Bible says this in Proverbs 6:16. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm preaching myself happy up here. Let me slow down a little bit. They wanted a sign. And so Jesus said this. He said that, man, the only reason I'm able to do what I'm able to do is because of the unity that I have with my Father that releases the anointing to go do what I need to do. John 14:9, it says, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever's seen me has seen the Father. How do I know if God is real? All you got to do is open your Bible and watch what Jesus did. How do I know if God loves me? All you got to do is open your Bible and read what Jesus did and continue to listen what he's doing, because he loves you. See, he loved that man so much that he said, let me take this spirit out of him so he can have a normal life. I love this woman so much, I don't want her son to die, so let me come and raise him or her from the dead. I love this man so much, so let me let him walk. Let me show you how much I love you. I love you so much that I don't want you to live in turmoil. I don't want you to be anorexic. I don't want you to be bulimic. I don't want you to have suicidal thoughts. I don't want you to be angry and rage. I want you to live a free and a loving and caring life. That's the God that we serve. And he's here tonight to do business with you if you allow him to. You got to trust him. See, God is a God of power, and he's a God of love. It's not just words that I'm preaching tonight. No, this is a demonstration of the power of God.
So I've been in the ministry almost 17 years. In my first 4 years, I traveled all over the country preaching the gospel to college students. And when I preached the gospel on colleges all around this nation, I seen the power of God come upon kids that were tormented, suicidal, crack addicts, the worst of the worst. But you know what they said, man, if I can get out of this situation, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to follow him. And you know what? Many of those kids did. And you know what? They're on in this nation doing great things for God. Trust them. The Bible says this in Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Straight. He'll make them straight. Unity. Where unity, God commands the blessing. God is after unity. One thing I learned about God's unity is that I got to learn about other people's cultures. Just like I had to learn about my Russian brothers' cultures. I remember one night as a youth pastor, Pastor Bruce, we've done it all, bro. Youth pastor, children's worker. I've never been on the worship team. Terry, can I sign up? And I remember as a youth pastor, I used to have to drive this bus, man. I'd have to go pick all these kids up and then take them to the service and preach to them and feed them and love on them and then drive them home. And I used to get home about 1 o'clock after I dropped everybody off. And one of my greatest joys was my Latin brothers. I loved this Latin. I had this soccer team. And the soccer team started coming to church. God opened the door in this high school. And I got this soccer team, and they're all Hispanic speaking. And we're driving home late at night. And I mean, we're hanging out, and they're speaking Spanish, and I'm trying to get in the flow, you know. You know, I mean, I catch a word, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm making up stuff, you know. No, that's not true. And so I'm trying to flow with them, and all of a sudden, you know, there I can tell that they're calling each other by their nicknames. So I'm thinking, man, I want a nickname. What give me a nickname? What can I be? And he said, you know, got real quiet in the bus. Now, you know, when it gets quiet, I'm thinking, oh, man, I messed up. And I offended some people. And it got real quiet. And this guy in the back, he goes, you heard him just kind of peek up. He goes, el hombre oscuro. I said, man, what's that mean? That sounds pretty cool. He said, that means the dark man. I said, who you calling dark, bro? Do we need to fight up in this thing? You know, I'm all angry. And so I'm laughing. But you know what was amazing is that when we had that chuckle, that laugh, and, you know, I could have got offended. But the thing that brought us together in that bus was the unity of Jesus. Because those boys came not because of me, but because the love of God in me. And I was able to minister and help those young boys get to where they needed to be. See, God is after unity. And many of those young men gave their lives to the Lord. And many of those young men ended up going and doing some great things from the Lord. A changed life. The last point is this: enjoy the unity. Enjoy the unity, because there's this here that's happening in this room doesn't happen everywhere. And you got to understand this, is that when you see this happening, people from all ethnicities, people coming together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, that's supernatural. That doesn't happen all the time. You know, Martin Luther King said this, and I know I'm all over the place tonight, but I'm flowing, man. You feeling me, right? Y'all feeling me? So MLK said this. He said, the most segregated hour is 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings, because you got people that are worshiping from different ethnicities and other churches, and they're not coming together. And it should not be, because Jesus said that my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. And so when you see the nations worshiping God together, something supernatural is taking place, which we are saying tonight, where there's unity, God commands the blessing. And so you need to enjoy each other's ethnicities, enjoy learning about each other. Man, there's so many times that I've had to learn things. And this is my last funny story, because I know y'all are tired and I want to go home too. And so when I came here, probably about 5 years ago, I remember, man, you know, in the brotherhood, where's my brothers at? Come, I need Keneal, come up here, brother. Come on up here, brother. Come on, Keneal. We're going to do this real quick, and I'm going to shut it down. So in the brotherhood, if I see Keneal down the street, if I see you, Keneal, I say, what's up, Keneal? I'm going to dap you. Like, hold on. Yeah, don't. You got to turn this way. Turn this way. You already got it. So if I come, I'm going to do this. I'm going to bring him in this way. That's love, right? That's love. But if I really love you, I'm going to bring you real close. I'm going to give you a two-fist pound on the back. And I'm going to say, man, it's all good, right? So that's how we do. We flow. Now, I'm a hugger. I'm a joy. And so the first, I'm dapping everybody. I'm hugging everybody when I first got here. And so all of a sudden I see Pastor Kaz's wife, Akie. And so I'm just like, oh, Miss Akie, because we were at a prayer meeting. I'm coming and she's coming this way. I'm like, Miss Akie, hey, how you doing? And I went to give her a hug and she bowed on me, went low. And I just, what just happened? And she, Patrick, you know, just bowing. Okay. I get it, you know. Now, for some people, you might have got offended about that. You know what I mean? Like, oh, man, you know, you're supposed to do like I do. But I learned something there. Okay, I get it, Miss Ike. Next time I see you, I'm going to just drop my head and keep moving. You know, that's how we're going to do. And so you have to learn each other's culture. Don't be afraid. See, fear breaks the unity. Fear keeps you and I from learning about each other. I want to know, why do you get mad? What offends you? Why? I mean, if I really want to be a man or woman of God, I got to humble myself and apologize. Man, I'm sorry if you, somebody that looks like me has offended you or hurt you. That's not the spirit of God. We're not like that. We're born again believers. We're different. And so you have to fight for the unity. You got to trust God. And most of all, you got to enjoy each other. You can't be afraid to enjoy one another. And so I want to pray for us. If we can stand to our feet. Because tonight is a special night. If you leave home tonight, you're going to say, man, I know the pastor. He said some crazy stuff. It was funny. But you know what? If there's anything that you can remember tonight, is where there is unity, God commands the blessing. He commands it. And so, Father, tonight, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every man and every woman that's here tonight. God, I pray that, Lord, we would celebrate each other, their diversity, their ethnic backgrounds, that, Lord, we would genuinely, authentically want to get to know one another. And not just that, God, but we would want to build in such a way that the people on the outside looking in would say, man, those people must know the true one and only living God because of the love that they have for one another. So, Father, let your face shine upon them. May you bless them in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.